Good morning, everyone. Hope you all had a nice time at Christmas and enjoyed your Christmas dinner and not suffering too much from the after effects. It's always the same at Christmas, isn't it? Everybody tends to overeat, maybe occasionally overdrink. And it doesn't need to be alcohol. You get drunk on Coke. It's bad for the old stomach as well. But you know, there's one thing you can never have too much of, and that's the Lord. So let's just come to him in prayer before we look into the message this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. You loved us enough to send your Son to pay the price for our iniquity. And Lord, you give us so much. You care for each one of us. You provide for all our needs and then some. And Lord, at times, we find it hard to give you a bit of our time. But Lord, you want to be with us all the time. And as Linda's already said this morning, we don't need to be anywhere fancy. We don't need to have fancy words. We don't need to have a special place. All you want to do is to communicate with us and us with you. And Lord, we can do that when we're driving, when we wake up at night with can't sleep, as I normally do from time to time, and talk to you, Lord, and you give me peace and rest. So Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings. I pray that you be with me now as I bring the word that I believe you've laid on my heart. Lord, that you will take me out of it, because we only want to hear from you this morning. And just feed us from it, Lord, and bless us. And let us put into action in our life things which you're telling each one of us that we need to from your word this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is Sunday, the 29th of December, as I'm sure you're all well aware. The last Sunday of 2024. You know, but I think we've got such a great God that he'll make a new year for us. But I'm not worried whether he does or not, because I'm ready for when he decides the game is up and the final whistle goes. I'm hoping to jump into the bath with all my brothers and sisters and be clean once and for all, refreshed, renewed. Today's message, I'm just going to vary from my usual. Normally I read a big portion of scripture before, but I've only got one verse this morning. And it's from Philippians 3, and it's verse 13. And it reads, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." Apostle Paul. You know, I've entitled this morning's message, Forgetfulness and Forgiveness. As you know, I always come out with some strange titles. And you might be thinking, well, this is a strange title for a message. Stranger than usual, Jerry. You know, but I hope that it will become clearer as we progress through the message. Often we hear people complaining about their inability to remember names, for instance. I have that problem at times, especially here. You get people who've been here once or twice, and then you don't see them for months and they come in again. And I'll go to Linda and say, "What are they called?" Because she's got a better memory than me. She remembers all the names. So she's my book, if you will, reference book that I go to when I lose my thought. You know, it is nice to remember people's names. It's nice to be remembered, isn't it? And I think it's nice to take the effort to find out someone's name if you've forgotten it from someone who is a good memory, and then be able to go and let them know that at least you're concerned about them. You know, if we are to remember vividly anything, we need to study, we need to concentrate on it, we need to pay attention and not allow ourselves to become distracted. Especially when we're talking about relationships. You know, specialists who study the human mind tell us that nothing is ever completely forgotten. Our brain, which doesn't really belong to us, God gives us it, so it's perfect. It stores everything up in our subconscious. Sometimes we've got great difficulty in recalling it. But aren't we the same about anything? We're the same with scriptures. We can remember certain verses in scripture. But when you turn around and say, where does that verse come from? You think, oh, well, I think it was Isaiah, or I think it was in Matthew. But I'll look it up. And you get all Google and you put in the text on Bible Gateway or whatever. And you just put in a lead in it. It takes you straight to it. That's great. That's my memory at times. I need to do it. But you know, it's there to be used. So the brain works, even when it doesn't work. It tells you how to correct it. And the Lord's like that as well. You know, at times we don't know what we should be doing. But if you do something, he will let you know whether it's right or wrong. You know, if you don't do anything, you won't learn anything. And that's the important thing we've got to do. I'm sure there are times, I know I have had quite a few times, so I'm sure I'm not on my own in this. There are times when you may be sitting listening to your radio as you're driving along, and a song will come on, or a bit of music, and memories just spark right back into your mind. And you can remember back to, oh, I used to sing that wee chorus when I was in Sunday school, when I was about 4. You know, or, oh, I heard that just before I got married. You know, it brings back a memory and you can actually put you into the place. And that's the one thing that I like about memory. And I'm sure it could be a song, it could be something that somebody says to you. It could be a siren going past, and you remember jobs that you've been on. Then the incidences where someone's been in problem, fire in the house, or a roadside accident, or whatever. And that's every time I hear a siren, I can flash back to certain incidents, but I'm not going to go into that now. That's just by a side, you're just going past there. That's why we should be careful, though, what we put into our minds. Because what we study and what we watch does get ingrained in there. As I say, we never forget anything. It all gets compartmentalized in the brain. It's like a filing cabinet. And it'll go into one drawer or other. And it may not come open again until it gets triggered and that drawer opens. But normally it's the bad things. It's like a child, you know, the first thing that they pick up is if somebody swears around them, they'll pick that word up more so than anything else. You know, so it's careful. You've got to be careful of what you feed into your memory. Memory is one of the most valuable faculties that we possess. When you consider a victim of an accident, falling down the stairs, whatever, bad head injury, suffering from amnesia, for instance, and they lose all memory faculties. They can't remember about relationships or who their name is or where they are. And I don't know what that's like, because thankfully it's never happened to me, though some people wonder from time to time, you know. But it's one of the greatest sources of joy that we have is our memory. It can be. But like everything else, there are two sides to every coin. And the memory is no different. it can be a great blessing to us. Such a blessing as the goodness and faithfulness of God that we can read from Psalm 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, the kindness of others and the truth that makes life worth living. The warnings of both God and mankind. And as we read from Psalm 9, 17 and 18, which tells us the wicked go down to the realms of the death, all the nations that forget God. But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. This should encourage us and give us the resolve to live in close harmony with God, to want to spend time in his company, and to invite him into ours. And I still like the little bracelets that we used to give the kids in school, you know. What would Jesus do? It was just a reminder. And it's something that I've always thought before I get into anything or go anywhere. Would the Lord be happy to go here with me? Would he be comfortable here? And if the answer is no, then I don't go. Yeah, and I do that for anything. I mean, if somebody says, do you want to go to the pictures? What am I going to see? And find out the story, and then I'll have a wee prayer time to think about it and say, well, yes, I'll go. Or, no, thank you. I'll give it a miss. But we need to remember, as I said, there are two sides to every coin, and the memory is no different. The evil side of the coin, that's where the devil will try to defeat and destroy us in the present and in the future. You know, he will remind us of things that we have done in the past that we know we shouldn't have done. But it's that time when you've got to remember what Scripture tells you. Christ has died for our sins. And if you've repented of them, they're not just erased from his memory. They should be erased from ours. And we need to do that erasing and not allow the devil a way in, because he will try everything. He is a great deceiver after all. He will tell you all sorts of lies. It's important that we remember that reading that we opened it with from the Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters, you remember it was Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. It's very appropriate on the last Sunday of the year. You know, there are a few things that it would be wise and profitable for us to forget. We need to forget our past successes. Why? Because when we have success at something, we can get a bit high and mighty about it and give ourselves a big pat on the back and want to rest on our laurels, thinking, I've done that. I'll just take things easy. You know, but that's something that Satan wants you to do. Rest on your laurels. Don't keep going forward. But don't forget, we are in a walk with Christ. If you don't keep walking forward, you stop walking with him. And if you start falling back, you're backsliding. There's a lovely portion that gives you an illustration of what resting on your laurels is. It's from Luke 18:11-12. I'm sure you know it quite well. It's the Pharisee who stood up and prayed this prayer. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Wow. Sounds good, doesn't it? He certainly thinks he's got it made. You know, we should be grateful for past blessings and achievements, but we must be aware that we don't find ourselves looking backwards rather than looking forwards. All of you car drivers, you know, you sit in your car, you look through a big screen, the front, and a little mirror to what's coming behind. But if you spend too much time looking at that little mirror, concentrating on what's behind you, you've got a chance of running into something rather nasty in front of you. So it's important that you keep your head and your attention on what's ahead, not on what's behind. We should be grateful for the past blessings, as I say, and achievements, but we must be aware that we don't find ourselves looking backwards. The Apostle Paul said many achievements. He has achieved many achievements. He could have been very proud of. He was a great pastor. He was a great evangelist. He was a great missionary. And I would say, possibly the most influential author when you look into Scripture that the world has ever known. Yet he still did not consider himself to have completed everything that he could. He still felt there was more that he could do for the kingdom. And that's what we should be endeavouring to do, to keep doing all that we can do to grow the kingdom. Then sometimes we need to forget past failures. Not all of us can be 100% successful in all that we do. We're human after all. We all make mistakes. Me especially. Some of us may have failed miserably in our personal lives from time to time because life is difficult. And I think the more you love people, the more times you get friction as well, because you tend to want them to be perfect, and when they're not, it upsets you. And we're all the same. There's none of us. We're all exactly the same. We want more than what we get. Family life can be every bit as troublesome from time. Business life and spiritual life, as I say, because it can be times when we feel, oh, I'm too tired to pick up the Bible today. Can we leave it till later? You know, that's why, personally, I know we're retired, so we've got the pleasure of doing it, but every morning after breakfast, we do our Bible study together. And we can do that because we haven't got work. So whenever I was going out working in the morning and Linda was going to work, it was different. We had a compromise, but now it's nice. So thank you, Lord, for retirement. But that doesn't mean to say that I can rest on the laurels. I've got to keep looking forward. So it would seem clear to me that none of us can rest on our laurels. And Romans 3:23 makes that quite clear, because it reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's important that we all forget past grievances. Why? Because if you don't, you're carrying the burden. And the person that's maybe caused that grievance has forgotten it long ago, because it may have been something that's just been something thrown out there. And it didn't mean anything then. They didn't mean anything really by it. But it's offended us because it hit a tender spot. And then by just holding on to that, you're taking ownership of it and giving yourself a lot of problems. So it's important that we forget it. Let me ask you to consider how you would answer the following questions then. Do you keep a list of grudges or resentments? Do you continue to hold grudges with relatives who might have upset you? Are you angry with God because your life is not all that you had hoped it would be? We need to remember that Jesus pointed out the necessity of forgiveness and not harbouring grudges. in his word to Peter about forgiveness, as we read from Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Jesus was focused on the well-being of the victim here, of the offence, as I've just said, because he didn't want Peter carrying around that burden all the time. Forgive and forget. There's a song about that. I think it was some comedian done it from Liverpool, wasn't it? Let's forgive and forget. And it was a song, but it is so true. We've got to learn to forgive and forget because none of us are perfect. He was aware that hatred was like a poison that would and could eat out our heart, just like acid. If we are faced with a new year with hope for success, we must forgive past grievances. If someone's upset you, let them know, talk to them, and try and resolve the situation. Don't let it well up in you and cause you all sorts of problems. All of us need to forget our handicaps, as it were. And we all have one type or another. And if we consider, or if we major on our handicaps, we will never get the job done. We will keep looking for excuses. "Oh, well, he upset me, or she upset me the last time. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to offer this." You know, you've got to get over it, forgive it, forget it, and look forward and move forward. Even the Apostle Paul spoke of having a thorn in his flesh. "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me." Instead of majoring on his handicap, Paul trusted more in God, from whom he received the strength required for a victorious life. His handicap turned out to be a blessing. You know, and sometimes that's what a handicap does. It gives you a blessing. There's nothing I see more when I look at the Invictus Games or any of these, when people have lost limbs and they're going out and doing sprints and long jumps with these prosthetics on. And I'm thinking, and here's me sitting in an armchair watching this and, you know, enjoying it. But you think of the courage that it takes to get on with life when they've got a physical handicap. And if we hold on to grudges and not there, those handicaps will hold us back. And if they didn't get those prosthetics or hadn't got the will to get up and get on with it, can you imagine what life would be like for them? It is. It's all in the mind, I think, a lot of it. As we read all about the Lord, all of us need to remember that if the Lord is on our side, we can forget all our fears of failure, all our fears for tomorrow, because we're not promised a tomorrow, are we? And we don't need to fear death, or where are we going to spend eternity? We cannot hope for God's forgiveness if we refuse to forgive others who sin against us. It just won't work without forgiveness, as the Lord's Prayer that we prayed this morning makes quite clear. We need to forget those who transgress against us. Otherwise, we can't receive His forgiveness. And that's what it says when you look into it. But how many people pray that prayer and don't consider that little bit? You know, we need to forgive others. But we also need to forgive ourselves. Otherwise, as I said, the old devil gets in there and he drags up all the dross that he can, and it can cause us a lot of heartache and trouble. But if it does happen, just ask the Lord to deal with it. And he will, because he dealt with Satan, didn't he? When Satan tried to tempt him, he just said, Scripture also says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And if you're a child of God, you can tell him exactly the same. We can be deceived, but he can't. If we don't forgive ourselves, our way forward towards making any progress will be hindered, will drag us down and try to prevent us from walking into an unknown tomorrow with God. Lucianne Bennett put it like this in one of her beautiful hymns. It is better to walk in the dark with God than walk in the light. It is better to walk with him by faith than walk alone by sight. Beautiful words. And that's the way. Let him take us by the hand and lead us, because he will lead us along that narrow path. Christmas, as I'm sure you're well aware, has been and gone. Well, all the festivities are, and others still in, or 6 days or something before the decorations come down. It'll soon be a new year dawning. Many will be taking down their decorations and putting them back up into the attic until next year, and that's fine. One thing that doesn't belong up in the loft is the reason for the season, Jesus. Next year, many will make New Year's resolutions, which few will ever keep. It is my solemn prayer that if you as yet have not accepted God's precious gift, Jesus, as your Lord and Saviour, that you will consider making that commitment your New Year's resolution. You will never regret it. You will never want to forget it. My mind, from I've been walking with the Lord, has been a lot clearer on a lot of other things. I've been a lot nicer person to others. I've been less argumentative. I still like an argument now and again. Ask Linda, she'll tell you. You know, forgiveness is never easy on our own. And Scripture also tells us, but it, with God's strength, all things are possible. And that's what we need to remember. We are not strong, but if we hold his hand, we have got someone in our corner who has got the strength to do all things. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son. We know it wasn't on the 25th of December, but Lord, we thank you that you sent him and he was born. And we remember it on that day because of past histories. But Lord, it's better that we remember that birth than not remember it. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus was willing not only to come as that baby, but to grow into the man who went to the cross for each one in this whole wide world to take away their sin if only they would accept him as their Lord and Saviour. And Lord, we just lift up those in our family to you right now who as yet are still not sure of where they are going. And Lord, we just pray that you will soften their hearts take the blinkers off their eyes and open their ears, Lord, and soften their hearts to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, so that they know where their future lies with you. And we ask it all in and through the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.